Last time we were talking about clay suda, that the only kelim, the only vessels, utensils that one acquires from a non-Jew that are chayav in tevila are clay suda. And we spent a lot of time defining what does clay suda mean. So first of all, according to some Rishonim, it actually has to touch the food. If it doesn't touch the food, if the part that's chayav in tevila, meaning if the metal part, as opposed to, let's say, if you have a kli eitz that has some kind of metal bands that are supporting the kli on the outside, so we said that's a machlokas Rishonim. Some Rishonim assume that it is chayav in tevila because the metal bands are supporting, and we should follow the ma'amid even by tevilas kelim, not only by Hilchas Kabbalas Tuma. And Tosfos disagrees, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes the opinion of Tosfos, but some of the poskim, I think the Shach, quotes others who claim that maybe you should be tovel. So we paskin that you should be tovel without a bracha. But a kli that doesn't touch the food whatsoever, meaning no part of the kli touches the food, there's no question that that shouldn't require any kind of tefillah. That's like a tripod, we said. A tripod that you put the kedera on, the food is inside the kedera, it's not touching the tripod. There's no question that that tripod does not require tefillah. And then we discussed also that in order to be called clay suda, the kli has to serve a certain function. It can't just be, you know, something that's not serving any function at all. We talked about clay otsar and a toaster and other things. We mentioned as well that a whole discussion, let's say the kli is touching the item before it's royal achila, meaning even after the kli touches this item, it's not going to be edible. So that's a whole discussion. Is that chayav in tevila as well? Maybe only if you could use that kli for some other purpose, then it will be chayav in tevila. These are all discussions that we had about clay suda. The final issue that I'd like to discuss with you about clay suda is the question of rov tashmish. Do we follow the rov tashmish of the kli, the majority of usage, what the kli is mostly used for, or do we follow even minority usages of the kli? The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Kuf Chav Sif Ches talks about a case that we'll discuss in greater detail later. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Yesh Misha Omer that if someone acquires a kli, if one individual acquires a kli from a goy, from a non-Jew, but he doesn't acquire it for the purpose of the seuda, but rather, let's say it's a knife, and he acquired the knife from the non-Jew in order to cut paper with. Clearly it's not clay seuda, it's not going to be used with food. So the Yesh Misha Omer claims that there's no chiyuv tevila, and there wouldn't even be a chiyuv of tevila if another person borrows it from the first individual, because it wasn't a schayev biyad rishon. We'll talk about that in greater detail as the shiur continues, mitzvah Hashem. So that's the Yesh Misha Omer that the Shulchan Aruch quotes. A person didn't acquire the kli for tzarchei suda, as he calls it, for the purpose of eating, but only lachtoch kalafim, only to cut paper, so there's no chiyuv tevila. But the Rama adds, aval harishon osur lehishtamesh bo letzarchei suda afilu derech harai below tevila. The first individual can't use it, letzarchei suda, even derech harai, even temporarily, meaning not for a tashmish kavua. He's really going to use it lachtoch kalafim, primarily he's going to use it to cut paper. Says the Rama, he's not even allowed to use it, but derech harai, one time, two times, letzarech suda. So the impression you get from the Rama, this Rama is quoting from the Sefer Isser V'Heter, so that Isser V'Heter is saying that we don't follow Rov Tashmish. If a person is using the Kli, Letzarech Seuda, even for one time or two times, a minority usage, that still will be Chayev in Tevila. That Kli is going to be Chayev in Tevila. The Pischei Tshuva in Sivkot and Vav quotes the Shev Yaakov who disagrees. That's the famous Shev Yaakov that we keep on coming back to. The two important points of the Shev Yaakov is, first of all, the Shev Yaakov makes this comparison between Hilchas Kabbalas Tuma and Hilchas Tevilas Kelim. But the second point that the Shev Yaakov makes is that he thinks we should follow Rov Tashmish. The case of the Shev Yaakov is there's this Tanur Beis Achoref that is producing a lot of dry heat in the home. And they used to have a kli that they would attach to the Tanur Beis Achoref that would have some kind of water in it. And when Tanur Beis Achoref, when the heater would heat up the water, it would add moisture, humidity to the air. So the question is that kli chayav in tevila? Because sometimes you'll use that kli to pour a little water for your coffee, for some other food purpose. So the Shev Yaakov says, he thinks, first of all, since it's mechubal karka, you attach it to the Tanur Beis Achoref, so, and the Tanur Beis Achoref is attached to the karka, attached to the ground. So this item, this kli that you're going to put into the Tanur Beis Achoref is also attached to the ground. So if it's mechubal karka, it doesn't have a status of a kli le'inyan kabbalas tuma, so it shouldn't have a status of a kli regarding tevilas kelim either. That's his first point. He says, secondly, what's the rov tashmish here? The rov tashmish is to use the hot water for the coffee? The Rov Tashrish is to add moisture to the room. Since Rov Tashrish is not Latzorach Sa'uda, even if you'll tell me that it does have a shame clearly in your Tevilas Kehilah, it still shouldn't be Chayiv in Tevilas Kehilah. That's the second point that the Shev Yaakov makes. So this the Pesachei Tshuva quotes to disagree with the Ramah. The Ramah had quoted from the Yisuv HaHeter that even a Tashmish Arai is considered a significant Tashmish. As long as you use the Kli, Letzarech Suda, even on a temporary basis, that's considered a significant Tashmish and it would require a Tevila. The Shev Yaakov disagrees. The Shev Yaakov claims that we follow Rov Tashmish. If Rov Tashmish is not Letzarech Suda, it wouldn't require Tevilas Kehilah. And this sentiment, the sheet of the Shev Yaakov, is echoed by the Prichadosh as well. Prichadosh and Sivkot and Yutes here in Siman Kuf Chaf, going on the Issa v'Heter itself, he disagrees. He says it's mutter to cut food with what he calls sak and katan shel sofrim, with the small knives that the sofrim use that normally they cut paper with. The sofrim normally use their small knives to cut paper. Says the Prichadosh, it's mutter to cut food with that because that's just a Tashmish Arai, that's not a Tashmish Kavua, and it's not Rov Tashmish, so there's no reason why it should be Chayiv and Tevilas Kehilah. But the Pritoar, which is the other Sefer, in the Sefer Prichadosh, the large Prichadosh, as I pointed out to you, there's a Pritoar on the other side, so he constantly comments on the Prichadosh's Shitas. The Pritoar, which is also quoted in the Darkei Tshuva, he disagrees with the Prichadosh. I mean, the truth is you don't have to come on to any other Shita. The Ramah himself seems to disagree. The Ramah seems to say that even a Tashmish Arai is enough to be Mechayev in Tefillah. Even a Tashmish Arai is enough to be Mechayev in Tefillah. So how do we paskin? So it's taka interesting. The Sefer Tevilas Kelim in Perak Aleph, Siv Beis, he quotes this whole Machlokes Prichadosh Pritoar. And he says, if you look carefully at the Pritoar, the impression you get is even according to the Pritoar, who says that we do follow Tashmish Arai, we don't follow Rov Tashmish, even he only said that by a kli that's miyuchad letzorech seuda, meaning a kli that's normally used, that's made letzorech seuda, it's made to be used for eating, for food purposes, but you happen to use it not for food purposes. You bought it, you acquired it from the guy for non-food purposes, lachtoch kalafim. So then you want to use it for a tashmish arai, letzarech seuda, then it requires tevila. But let's say you have a kli that normally is not used letzarech seuda. Maybe even the Pritoar wouldn't say that we would follow miyot tashmish. If you have a Tashmish Arai, Letzorech Seuda, maybe no one would say that you're Chayev in Tevila in that case. The whole discussion, what the Sefer Issa v'Heter is talking about, is a Kli that Taka is normally used Letzorech Seuda. This is a kind of knife that is actually made Letzorech Seuda, but you're not using it Letzorech Seuda. You originally acquired it from the non-Jew in order to cut paper. So in that case, maybe we should be Machmir to say that if you use it as a Tashmish Arai, Letzorech Seuda, it should be Chayev in Tevila. But let's say you have a Kli that normally is not used Letzarech Seuda. It's not made Letzarech Seuda. Lamashal, classical example that's given. A pocket knife, a Swiss Army knife. That's not made Letzarech Seuda. It's made to cut your wood, to chisel out your marshmallow roasting stick, right? It's not made to actually be used to cut the food. So what would happen? Are you allowed, let's say you had no knife to cut your cucumber at the cookout, no knife to cut your food, would you be allowed to use that without tevila? So that's this discussion. If you say that the Pritoar and that the Ramah were only talking about a kli that primarily is omid letzarech seuda, but you happen to have acquired it from the non-Jew, not letzarech seuda, so then in the case of the pocket knife, one would not have to be told by the pocket knife to use it as a tashmish arai letzarech seuda, because that pocket knife is not really made Letzarech Seuda to begin with. It could be that this Tashmish Arai is considered significant because the Kli really is fundamentally made Letzarech Seuda. So even this Tashmish Arai is considered a significant Tashmish because the Kli really is Omed Lekach. But if the Kli is not Omed Lekach, if it's not designated Letzarech Seuda, maybe there's no reason to be Machmer whatsoever. So this really is the maskan of the Sefer Tevilas Kehilah. He assumes that everyone would agree that if the Kli is not really Omed Lekach Letzarech Seuda, so then even if you use it as a Tashmish Letzorech Seuda, as long as it's only a Tashmish Arai, one would not have to be Tova that Kli. So that would have enough gemina, practical application for a pocket knife. It also would mean, let's say you want to crack open a knife. Let's say you can't find your nutcracker and you want to crack open the knife with a hammer, with a screwdriver. Can you do that? Maybe you should say no. You're going to touch the nut with the screwdriver, with the hammer. Maybe you should have to be told with the hammer and the screwdriver. The answer probably is that since the hammer and the screwdriver are not made letzarach suda, they're made for other purposes. So the fact that you're using it as a tashrish harai, once in a while you're using it letzarach suda, that doesn't require tefillas kein. Okay, this concludes our discussion of klei suda. Let's move on to the next issue, the next packet of Maor Makamos. That is, which kinds of kinyonim actually are mechayev in tefillas kelim? We talked about what is the kli have to be. It has to be klei suda. We talked about what the kli has to be made from, what kind of materials, etc. So now, let's look at the next Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Dafayin Hay. The Gemara talks about what kind of kinyon. What kind of acquisition do you have to make from the guy in order to be chayev in tefillas kelim? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Bar Avuah. Lo shanu ela belekuchen ukamaisa shehoyim. Aval sheulin lo. The Gemara says the only kind of kinyan that's chayv in tefillas kelim is if it's actually lakuach, if you acquire it from the guy. Ukamaisa shehoyim. What does it mean, kamaisa shehoyim? So Rashi, later in the Gemara, it's a little out of order in the Rashi. At the bottom of the Yomud, Rashi says kamaisa shehoyim is like by klei midyan. When Bnei Yisrael took the kelim from Midyan, they acquired them. They didn't acquire them with kesef, with meshicha, hagbah, with classical kinyanim, but they acquired them by kibush milchama. They captured them, so it became theirs. Zokta Gemara, the only time that kelim are going to be chayv in tevila is if you acquire the kli from the non-Jew. But if it's only borrowed from the non-Jew, it's not chayv in tevila. So these are the two extremes that the Gemara sets up. Lakuach is definitely chayv in tevila. Shaul is not chayv in tevila. Of course, we're going to have to discuss all of the middle cases. But that's the basic distinction that the Gemara draws. That if you acquire the kli from the non-Jew, then it will be chayv in tefila. But if you're only borrowing the kli from the non-Jew, then it's not going to be chayv in tefila. So let's say a non-Jew is running a restaurant. He owns a restaurant. We'll have to talk about restaurants in greater detail later. It could be a Jew running a restaurant also might not be chayv in tefila. But let's assume that a restaurant is no different than any other circumstance. So if a non-Jew is running the restaurant and there's no kashrus issue, if there's a tuda on the restaurant, if there's a hashgach on the restaurant, the non-Jew would not have to be tovel his kalim. Because the non-Jew owns the kalim. At most, he's only lending the kalim out to the patrons who come to eat at the restaurant. So that's like borrowing the kli of a non-Jew. There's no chiyuv tevila. The Gemara says beferish. There's no chiyuv tevila in such a case. Tosus in Dibur Maschil Avol quotes from the Rashbam that the Gemara is only talking about a case in which the Yisrael borrows the kli directly from the non-Jew. Let's say another Yisrael actually bought the kli from the non-Jew, but the first Yisrael wasn't tovel. So zaktosis aval shul and lo omer Rabbeinu Shmuel Yisrael sheshal kli Yisrael chaveru shekana meove kochavim. Let's say Yisrael number two borrowed the kli from Yisrael number one, who bought it from the non-Jew, tzarech tevila. That kli requires tevila, meaning even though the second Yisrael is only borrowing from the first Yisrael, that kli requires tevila. Kevin Shaboli dechiyuv tevila biyad Yisrael Rishon. Since the kli was nischayev, it became obligated in tevila in the hands of the first Yisrael. The first Yisrael did acquire it from the guy with a full kinyan. So then even though the second Yisrael is only borrowing from the first Yisrael, of course, we're talking about a case where the first Yisrael was not tovel the kli. The first Yisrael was tovel the kli, there's no issue. If the first Yisrael were not tovel the kli, and now the second Yisrael is borrowing from the first Yisrael, the second Yisrael has to be tovel. It's only shol. The Gemara says that shol is not chayv in tefilas kelim. No. Zaktosvis, kevin shen is chayv biyad Yisrael rishon. Since the kli already had a chalos chiyuv, the chiyuv took effect in the hands of the first Yisrael, so now there's a chiyuv for the second Yisrael to be tovel the kli. The Hagos Ashri adds on to the Tosis. He says, but be careful. The Rashbam only said that if it was Neschayev Biyad Yisrael Rishon. What happens if it wasn't Neschayev Biyad Yisrael Rishon? This is in the Hagos Ashri in Simon Lamed Hay of the Rush. The Hagos Ashri says, Avalim Lakho Chavero Lachto Kalofin Velo Litzarche Seuda. But if the first individual only bought the knife, let's say, to cut paper, but not Litzarche Seuda, in Tzarech Lahatbilo, then the second one doesn't have to be matbil, sharei shohul hu biyado, because it's only borrowed in the hands of the second Yisrael. The Hagos Ashri says that when the Rashbam claimed that once it's neschayev biyad rishon, and the second one has to be tovel, even if he's shoel, that's only if it's nischayev biyad rishon. But if the first one acquired the kli only lachtach b'chalafin, not letzarech hasudus, and the second one doesn't have to be tovel either because there was never a chiyuv. There's no chiyuv biyad yisrael rishon. There's no chiyuv biyad yisrael sheni. Why biyad yisrael rishon? No, because he wasn't kona letzarech hasuda. Why biyad sheni? No, because he was only shoil. So in that case, there's no chiyuv whatsoever. The Beis Yosef has an interesting suffix. First of all, well, actually, he makes 2 points. The Beis Yosef first comments on this Hagos HaShri. He says he thinks that the kula of the Hagos HaShri will apply not only if the first one was kona the kli lachtoch bo kalafin, but even if he was kona the kli letzarche seuda, even if he was kona the kli letzarche schoraim. He was kona the kli in order to buy and sell. He's a storekeeper, he's a grocer. And he buys and sells kelim. Zok the Beis Yosef, just like if the first Yisrael is kona the kli, lachto po chalofim, for a non-sarchis to the purpose, then the second Yisrael who is shoal from the first Yisrael is nachayv in tevila. So too, if the first Yisrael is kona the kli, letzarchis schora, klei schora, he acquires it as merchandise to buy and sell, there should be no chiyuv either. Because klei schara also, and not klei suda, that's the Beis Yosef's first chiddush. Right? This is an extension. The Hagos HaShri only was talking about where the first person bought the kli letzarech lachto bo kalafin, not to eat at all, not to use it for eating at all. The Beis Yosef says, well, maybe even if he bought it for usage to eat, but it's not for his eating. He's only going to sell the kelim. That's not letzarech suda. Letzarech suda means that you buy the kli because you want to eat from the kli. You want to use the kli for preparation of food or for serving food. But if you bought the kli in order to do business, in order to do schara, that's also going to be part. That's the first yisod that the Beis Yosef has over here. Where's the Beis Yosef? Sifches. Sifches. Why don't I see it? Oh, it's on the inside here. Okay. V'hoye nira li, di Yisrael shekona kli migoy l'schora, imachro li Yisrael acher, ein akona tzarech lad bilo, de kevin lan eschaya b'yad harishon, sherei lo haya omed elo l'schora. If he was kona only l'schora, then the first Yisrael is not eschaya v'domi l'ha de hagos ha'shri b'lokcho lachtoch v'lo l'tzarech suda. He says, just like the hagos ha'shri says, if the first one is kona lachtoch b'kalof and not l'tzarech suda, that's not chayiv. So too, if a person is kona l'tzarech schora, that's also not l'tzarech suda, that's not going to be chayiv. But the Beis Yosef is not sure. Why? Because the case that the Beis Yosef is creating is, let's say the first Yisrael bought the kli letzarech schora, and then he's going to sell it to the second Yisrael. That's what normally happens. A person, if a chenvani buys kelim, he wants to do business with them, so he's going to sell it to other people. He's not going to lend it out to the other people. So what should be the din? So at first glance, it would seem as though the second guy should be potter, because once the first one acquired it from the non-Jew for a non-sarchei suda purpose, it's only letzarechei schora. So then it was never nischayev. It was never nischayev. So then it shouldn't be chayev even when the second guy buys it. But the Beis Yosef is not so clear. He's not so sure about that. Why? Because he says if you look at the Hagos HaShri, the lashon is sharei shol hu biyada. The Hagos HaShri seems to be saying that if the second one only borrows it from the first one, so then since it's shol hu biyada, therefore he's not going to be chayev. It would sound like if the second one buys it from the first one, even though the first one was part of him to be less kelim, for whatever reason, he bought it lachtoch b'kalafim, he bought it as schora, as klei schora. Either way, it shouldn't matter. If the second one buys it from the first one, maybe you could suggest that the second one should be chayef. That's the Beis Yosef suffix. You see, he's saying, making 2 points. He's saying, even though if you look at the lashon of the Hagos HaShri, he seems to be talking only about a case where the first one buys the kli for a non-sarach suda purpose entirely, only lachtoch b'kalafin. Maybe we should suggest that even if he buys it as schora, that also is not mechayev in tefilas kelim. Even though ultimately the kli schora probably will be used litzarach suda, we don't know for sure. They might also buy the kli lachtoch b'kalafin, but apparently these kelim normally are used litzarach suda. No, Beis Yosef says even if the first person buys it letzarech schara, that's also not called letzarech suda, it's not going to be chayiv. But there's another point. The second point is, let's say the person who buys it letzarech schara is going to sell it now to the second Yisrael. So does that obligate the Yisrael second guy to be matpil the kli, he's buying it from the first one. So one could suggest that, well, once it was not neschayav biyad rishon, it's never going to be neschayav lalavoyed. But the Beis Yosef is not convinced. He's not sure that that's true. The Beis Yosef suggests that maybe if the second person buys it from the first one, he really should be chayav. What's the suffix? What's the Beis Yosef's suffix? I thought the suffix was this, that maybe what the Beis Yosef is unsure about is, should we say that a kli that is acquired from a non-Jew, if a Yisrael acquires a kli from a non-Jew with a real kinyan, so there's a chayav tvila. So maybe the whole suffix in the Beis Yosef is, do we say that once the first Yisrael bought the kli from the non-Jew for a non-Sarach Seudah purpose, so it's no longer called a klei akum? It's no longer called a kli that was once owned by the guy? We don't look back in history to the original owner. We look back to the immediately preceding owner. Once the first Yisrael bought it from the non-Jew, so now it's not called klei akum. So when the second guy buys it, even though he's doing a full kinyan, we view this as klei Yisrael. He's buying klei Yisrael. Or should we say, no, it's klei akum. There was this intermediary stage that was owned by the Yisrael, but it was potter at that stage. There was no chiyuv. There was no shame p'tur that was chal on this kli, and now it's kli Yisrael and it can never be chayiv evermore. No, it's still klei akum, but it's klei akum that never had a chiyuv of tevila. But maybe once the second Yisrael actually acquires it from the first Yisrael, since it still is klei akum, now the Yisrael is acquiring klei akum. Klei akum that were potter from tevila until now, but now that there's a full kinyan, maybe the second Yisrael's taka should be chayiv. The lechor is the suffix. Right? The suffix that the Beis Yosef has is, should I assume that once the first Yisrael bought these kalim, so now it doesn't have a shame klei akum whatsoever? So then, when the second Yisrael will buy the kli from the first Yisrael, that's not called buying klei akum. Or should I say, no, it's klei akum with a p'tur. Klei akum, it doesn't have a chiyuv yet. But once there's a full kinyan that the second Yisrael does, and he intends to use it l'tzarach suda, so then this kli will be chayiv in tevilim. That's the suffix that the Beis Yosef has.
Okay.
But certainly, the Beis Yosef would say, if the first individual bought it l'tzarach schora, and then the second individual is only borrowing it from the first individual, avadi should be potter. Right? Just like according to the Hagos Ashri, if the first one bought it lachtoch bo kalafim, and the second one only borrowed it from the first one, then the second one is potter. And so too, if the first one bought it l'tzarach schora to do business with, since the Beis Yosef assumes that's also a p'tur, that's not called tzarach suda, so the second one who borrows it from the first individual is going to be potter. Are you?
Aaron.
Sorry. Okay.
Do we have any indication from this whole thing by the Gosha Shri whether we're talking about a kli that's generally used for a food purpose and he decides on his own that he wants to use it for another purpose, or do we know at all?
Unclear.
So perhaps it can make a difference, because if it's a kli that's generally used for a food purpose, with what we just said earlier, so the fact that Reuven makes it into, uses it for non-suda purposes is irrelevant. We don't follow his batla daita, so to say. So therefore, Shimon would have to then do tefil on it when he gets it.
Because you're saying it's almost like it is nischayev biyad rishon. It is nischayev biyad rishon,
right?
because Rov Tashmisho is really Litzar Hachila. It's an interesting idea. We're going to come back to that in a slightly different way in just a moment, but it's a very good point. So how do we paskin in this whole discussion? Hagos Hashri, Beis Yosef, Rashbam. What's the psak alach lemaisa? So the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Ches, that's the Sif that we just mentioned before. We were talking about Rov Tashmish or not, right, Aaron? That's where you come. That's where you play a role over here, right? That's the Yesh Misha Omer that I just read a moment ago. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Yesh Misha. Who's the Yesh Misha Omer? The Hagos Hashri. That is the Yesh Misha Omer. That if the first one didn't buy the kli l'tzarach suda, he only bought it lachtoch b'kalafim, there's no chiyuv tevila. What chiyuv tevila are we talking about? So that's the Shulchan Aruch began, that if you only borrow a kli from a non-Jew, or even if the Yisrael bought it from the Ovek HaChavim, and then his chaver, his friend, borrowed it from him, in that case, he'll talk b'chayiv, shekfanas chayiv b'yad rishon. But the Yesh Mishomer says that if the first one only bought it l'tzarach kalafim, lachtoch b'kalafim, not l'tzarach suda, so then the person who borrows it from him is not going to be chayiv in tefillah. Okay? So from the Shulchan Aruch, you get the impression that the Hagos Ashri is accepted lahalacha. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote any cholik. That's it. And the Taz, dutifully, in Sivkot Yud, quotes the Beis Yosef, who extends this comment of the Hagos Ashri, that even if a person bought the kli letzarech schora to do business with it, so then someone who borrows it from him will not have to be tovel. Will not have to be tovel. The Taz even quotes from the Beis Yosef that even if the second person buys it, excuse me, that if the second person buys it, he will be chayiv in tevila, but at least if he borrows it, he should not be chayiv in tevila. Yet. But the Taz disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch. The Taz and the Shach as well, they're very surprised with the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Hagos Ashri, but he doesn't quote any Cholek. The Taz and the Shach say, but the Sefer Issa V'Heta disagrees. The Issa V'Heta says that even if the first Yisrael bought the Kli Lachtuch B'Kalafim, not Letzarech Seuda, the second Yisrael is Chayv, even if he only borrows the Kli from the first Yisrael. The Hagavos Ashri says that if the first one bought it Lachtuch B'Kalafim for a non-Sarech Seuda purpose, and then the second one is only borrowing it, then there is no Chayv. The Issa V'Heta says, of course there's a Chayv. What's the difference? What do you mean, what's the difference? So the way that the Taz and the Shach explain, why does it matter that the first one bought it for a non-food purpose? The fact is, he could use it for a food purpose, and maybe Aaron is right, that maybe this Kli Tak is mostly used for a food purpose, so maybe we should view it as Kfar Neschayev B'Yad Rishon. The Hagos Ashri wants us to believe that it's not Neschayev B'Yad Rishon if the first one only bought it for a non-food purpose. Who says? If the first one wanted to use it for a food purpose, the taka would be chayv in tevila. If the first one wanted to use it for a food purpose, it would be chayv in tevila because he's acquiring it from the non-Jew. So why should I say it's lo nischayev b'yad rishon just because he decided to use it for a non-food purpose? Maybe I should say it is nischayev b'yad rishon. It's mitla tali v'koy, so to speak, where the question is, what are you using it for? The kinyan of the first Yisrael can be mechayiv in tevila depending on what it's going to be used for. So we don't care that the first Yisrael is not using it letzarech seuda. The fact is, anyone who does use it letzarech seuda is using it off the kinyan of the first Yisrael. So the person who borrows it from the first Yisrael, he is using a kli akum that was acquired from the non-Jew letzarech seuda. So why shouldn't he be chayiv in tevila? So both the Taz and the Shach say, even though the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote the Sefer Issa V'Heter at all, the Shulchan Aruch assumes that if the first Yisrael bought it for a non-Sarach Suda purpose, then the second Yisrael who borrows it from the first Jew should be potter completely. The Issa V'Heter disagrees, and they claim that you should pass him l'chumra, that a person who borrows a kli from a Jew who bought the kli even for a non-food purpose, so what? As long as the borrower is using it for a food purpose, he should be chayav in tevila. That's a big, big chumra. So the question is, how should we be machri in this machlokes Hagos Ashri and Issa V'Heter? The Shulchan Aruch is machriya l'kula, and the Shach and the Taz is machriya l'chumra. So what are the modern day poskim say about this? This is a very important issue. How is it so important? What, do we really borrow kelim from each other? Does it really happen? So the Pesachei Tshuva there quotes in Sifkot and Tes, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Binas Adam, which is the extended essays of the Chachmas Adam, the Chai Adam, and these Zinyonim. The Chachmas Adam says the common practice when they made chasanas in Europe was to borrow cups from each other. They couldn't get together enough glass cups for the chasana, so they would go over to a chenvani, to someone who bought and sold cups, glass cups, and they would ask them if they could borrow the glasses. They borrow the glasses. Now, if they're going to have to be tovel glasses, though, the glasses could break. It's not worth it to them. The whole point was they couldn't procure enough glasses, and it's going to be too complicated to be tovel the glasses. So they wanted to figure out, is there a chiyuv to be tovel these glasses beforehand? So the Chachmas Adam says, well, let's put two and two together. Let's discuss this. This is a case where the first individual, the chenvani, bought the glasses for what purpose? Schora. He's not going to use them to eat. Right? So according to the Beis Yosef, buying kelim letzarech schora is not mechayiv in tefillah, even though they bought them from a non-Jew. But the second Yisrael is borrowing the kelim from the chenvani. So should that be mechayiv him in tevilah? Well, just a second, that's machlokas Hagos Ashri and the Issa V'Heter. So how do we pass it? That's machlokas the Shulchan Aruch against the Shach Natas. So what do we do here? So the Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Chachmas Adam that he wanted to be mekel le'eis tzorech. Why? At least for klei zechuchis. See, now everything is coming together. Zechuchis, we know maximum, is only a chiyuv midrabanan, right? The chiyuv tevilah by zechuchis, we assume, rov poskim assume it's only the rabanan. So maybe in the suffix, the machlokas to Shulchan Aruch against the Shach and the Taz, machlokas Hagos Ashri and the Yisuf Heter, we could be makel by a tevilah midrabanan, that maybe there's no chiyuv of tevilah. Leis tzorech, Right? Before Shabbos, let's say a person needs more glasses before Shabbos and he can't get to a mikvah, so he can borrow the glasses from the chenvani. Or in the case of the chasana, he can borrow the glasses from the chenvani. At least for zechuchas, we can be mekel. We can assume that the halacha is like the Shulchan Aruch, that in this case where the first individual is buying klei schora and the second individual is only borrowing from the first one, he didn't buy it from him, he's only borrowing. See, the suffix of the Beis Yosef is not going to play a role over here. The suffix of the Beis Yosef is if the second guy is buying from the first one. But if he's only borrowing, so maybe we can go lekula like the Shulchan Aruch, at least by klei zechuchas. Yeah?
Is it going to make a difference if the Jew you're borrowing from is firm or not?
Not really, because you're saying it's what if the Jew is not from, so there was no chiyuv tefilas kelim by him.
Yeah, but who knows what he used that kli for? So if, let's say you're borrowing it from him, and he might have used it for a tray food. Would you
okay,
mean,
if you're borrowing from a non-from Jew, and he may have used the kli, that's a totally different story. But in that case, I don't think there's any question that there would be a chiyuv tefilah if he used it, for his own purposes. We're talking about a case where you're borrowing kli schora from a chenvani, from a grocer, from a storekeeper, from a shopkeeper. So the shopkeeper didn't use it at all. It's perfectly new kelim, but you're going to borrow it from him. So now the question is, the fact that he bought it as klei schora, that might not be mechayev him to be tov the dishes, but are you as a borrower mechayev to be tov the dishes? That's the question. So maybe at least for klei zechuches, that the chiyuv might only be midrabanan to begin with, maybe there's room to be made. That's what the Chacham Sadeh wanted to suggest.
Right, but haven't we been saying all along that if you borrow from any Jew, you don't have to do tefillah ever, if you borrow, or you get it, if you acquire it from a Jew?
No, but if the first Jew bought the kelim but he wasn't tovel then for some reason,
uh-huh.
And then you borrow it from the Jew, that's the Rashbam that Tosus quoted, that if you borrow it from a Jew who bought the kelim and for some reason he wasn't tovel, then you absolutely are chayev to be tovel those kelim. So what did you borrow it from him? The Gemara says that there's no chayev if the person only borrows it. That's if he borrows from a non-Jew. But if he borrows from a Jew who was not tovel as kelim, let's say the Jew bought the kelim, and then the second Jew is borrowing from the first Jew. The first Jew didn't have the time to be tovel the kelim. He's going to be tovel the kelim, but he didn't have the time to do it yet. So the second Jew absolutely is chayev to be tovel the kelim because kranes chayev biyad rishon. Okay, so we're talking about an extrapolation from that. The first Jew, let's say, didn't buy it. Let's start suda. He only bought it as chora. He bought it as a shopkeeper. So now the question is, the person who was shol from him, is he chayev to be told that kli or not? So that seems to be machlokas hagos ashri and the yisav heter, machlokas the shulchan aruch against the shachan atas at a paskin. So the Chacham Sadeh says, at least by a chi of midrabanan, at least by klei zechuchis, maybe you could be mekel to paskin like the shulchan aruch. The Sefer Darkei Tshuva quotes a very famous Shevet Sofer. Tshuva's Shevet Sofer. This Shevet Sofer made it big in Hilchos Tefilas Kelim. The Shevet Sofer extends this one step further. Till now we've been talking about this kula of the Beis Yosef to extend the kula of the Hagos Ashri just one step to Klei Schorim. The Hagos Ashri was talking about what? The first Jew bought the Kli Lachdos B'Kalafin for a non-Sorech Suda purpose. The Beis Yosef says maybe we can extend it even to a case where he buys the kelim, the schora. The schora is not really a non-food purpose. You're just selling the kli. Perhaps mistame will be used letzarach sud. Doesn't matter, but he bought it letzarach schora, so maybe that falls under the same rubric. How about if the first individual bought the kelim, not to sell the kelim, but to use the kelim in a business context? He's a restaurateur, he's a caterer, a hotel, a kiosk, as the Shevet Sofer is talking about. That's what they had, a little kiosk. And they used to serve like soda water in glass kelim or in metal kelim maybe. What's the din of those kelim? The Beis Yosef wants to say that if that klei schora don't have the status of klei suda, kelim that are used for business don't have the status of klei suda. Well, what was the Beis Yosef talking about? Primarily, he's talking about where a chenvani, where a shopkeeper bought the kelim to sell them. Let's say the shopkeeper didn't buy the kelim to sell them. He bought the kelim to use them, but not really for personal use. He bought them to use them in a business context. Is that also called klei schora? It's schora. He's doing business. He's not doing business in the kelim. He's doing business in the substances, in the mashke, in the drink, or the ochel that he's selling to people who are using these kelim. So what's the status of those kelim? Zok the Shevet Sofer, he thinks that even such kelim should not require tefillah because they're called klei schora. Wow, that's a big chiddush of the Shevet Sofer. that the extension of the Beis Yosef, that even Klei Schora, not called Klei Suda, the Shevet Sofer suggests that that's not only true if the person is a chanvani, a shopkeeper who's buying the kelim to sell them, to resell them, but even someone who's buying the kelim for usage, but not his own usage, but rather for usage of his patrons who are coming to eat food and to drink from these kelim. That's also called klei schora. And he goes further. He says, even though the Taz and the Shacha machmir, the Taz and the Shacha assume that if the first Jew buys the kelim for schora or lachbakalafim, etc., then the second Jew who borrows from the first Jew really is chayiv in tevila like the Yisav HaHeter. That the fact that the first Jew bought the kelim for a non-suda purpose, that doesn't matter. The Shacha and the Taz and machmir, Zok the Shevet Sofer. Maybe they were only machmir and klei matches that the chiyuv tefillah is minat Torah, but by zechuches that the chiyuv maximum is only midrabanan. Maybe we can be makel the same pizman, the same loshon, right? Zechuches is only the rabanan maximum, so therefore, even the Taz and the Shachi claims would agree to me that by zechuches you can be makel, because this is after all klei schora. And the Shach and the Taz would admit that by Zechuches you can be Mekel, so therefore he thinks at least by glass kelim, by glass cups, you can be Mekel to drink from the kiosk, to drink from the catering establishment, even if the catering establishment was not Tovel the glasses. This is the Yesod of the Shevet Sofer. Two assumptions. First of all, he assumes that Klei Schor not only applies to kelim that a Chanvani buys in order to resell to someone else, but even if he buys in order to use, to have his patrons use it, that's also Schor, because he's doing business with the kelim. And secondly, he assumes that even the Shach and the Taz, who argue with the Shulchan Aruch and are machmir, to assume that if a second Yisrael borrows from the first Yisrael who bought the kelim for a non-food purpose, that second Yisrael is going to be chayav. The Shach and the Taz are only machmir by matches, but not by zechuches. So therefore, at least by zechuches, one could be mekel. Yes.
I was just going to say that usually, restaurant owners or kiosk owners, even though they're using the kelim for their customers, they're going to take drinks from the kelim themselves. They're going to have soda. They're going to eat.
That's a good question. So maybe that goes back to the old Shaila. If we follow Rov Tashmish, so maybe it should not be a problem. Even if these kelim are designated Latzorach Sa'uda, but if we follow Rov Tashmish, it shouldn't be an issue. So how does that play out? Just 1 second. Again, the Pritor wanted to say that we follow Miut Tashmish. We would follow Miut Tashmish as long as it's designated Latzorach Sa'uda. So it would be a problem for the Jewish caterer. The Jewish caterer would not be able to use his kelim because even miut tashmish letzarach suda would be a problem. But all of the tashmish of the patrons, of the customers, would not be a problem because it's not letzarach suda, so it shouldn't be an issue at all for the patrons. It might be a problem for the caterer. Maybe it's a good idea for the caterer to be tovel his kelim, or he just shouldn't drink from these kelim, shouldn't use them. Okay. But for the customers, it shouldn't be a problem at all, according to the yesod of the Shevet Sofer. So the Sefer Tefillas Kelim has a long dissertation about this, like he has about most things. Right, the Sefer Tefillas Kelim is in Perek Gimel Ha'orachov Dalet. So he quotes that the poskim, the modern day poskim, disagree with the Shevet Sofer for one of two reasons. He quotes Rav Moshe and the Chazan Ish and a host of poskim disagree with the Shevet Sofer fundamentally, because they say, who claims this is klei schora? This is klei schora? That's not what the Beis Yosef meant. The Beis Yosef meant you buy kelim. The first person is buying kelim to sell, not to use. They use a lashon. I'm not sure whose lashon this is. Mali kanon lechel ba'atzmo, mali kanon lahachel bohen acherim. What does it matter whether he bought it for his own eating or he bought it for someone else's eating? He bought it for someone's eating, not to sell the kli. He bought it for someone's eating, so they're eating at his house. But right, they're eating at his in his hotel. They're eating in his restaurant. But he bought it for eating. Does it matter whether he bought it for his own eating or for someone else's eating? That's called klei schora. That can't be called klei schora. That's the first issue that the post can disagree with the Shevet Sofer about. But moreover, he adds, who claims the Taz and the Shach are only machmir by klei matches? Did the Taz and the Shach say they're only machmir by klei matches? This is like a recurring theme. We had this in the Chachmas Adam, now the Shevet Sofer is saying this. So some of the poskim, I forget exactly who says this, whether this is the Tfilas Kelim book himself, where he quotes in poskim, but who claims the Taz and the Shach were only machmir by klei matches? They're machmir meikra din. Maybe even by Klei Zechuches as well. So what's the Shevet Sofer being Mekel for? by Klei Zavuchus. He says Klei Zavuchus is different, who says? So there are two reasons why you can disagree with the Shevet Sofer. First of all, who claims that this is really Klei Zchara? Maybe Klei Zchara should be limited to a case in which the individual, the first Yisrael, is buying the Kalim in order to resell them. But if he's buying the Kalim in order to use them, even in a business context, that's not called Klei Zchara. So the kula of the Beis Yosef, the Klei Zchara, is like buying the Kalim lachlech b'em kalafim, buying Kalim for non-Suda purposes. Maybe that applies to a chenvani, to a shopkeeper who's buying the kalim in order to resell them, but not to a store, not to a caterer, to a restaurateur, or someone who's buying the kalim in order to use them in a business context. And secondly, who claims that the shach and the taz are being machmer only by claim matches, maybe they're machmer by claim zeruchos as well. So what kind of a kula do you have? So I think most poskim assume that hotel owners and caterers, restaurateurs, they should be matbil their kalim. So aside from getting the hechsher on the food, part of the hechsher is that mistama they were matbil the kalim. They have to know that they were matbil the kalim at some point in time. We assume that there was a tefilas kalim that took place if the caterer is a Jew. If the caterer is a non-Jew, but there's often a discussion in the business context. Person goes out for lunch, and they go to a non-Jewish restaurant. It's a whole host of issues that have to be discussed in that context also. Not for now. But one of the shayos that comes up is, can you drink? Can you have a drink in the non-Jewish restaurant? So the simple answer is yes. If you drink from a glass cup, we assume that glass is not balea. Certainly in cold, it's not going to be balea. And the glasses that they're going to give you for a soda, as long as the soda is kosher, I assume the soda is probably kosher. It's probably better to get a can of Coke if you can have them give you the can of Coke. So then lechara should be no problem. As long as the glass is clean, there should be no issue of kashrus. Is there an issue of tefilas kalim? Well, if it's a non-Jewish restaurant, it's not really an issue to begin with because the kalim are owned by a non-Jew. So there's no chiyuv of tefila whatsoever. Our whole discussion is if the caterer, if the restaurateur is a Jew, so he bought these kalim, so he as a Jew has a chiyuv of tefila because these kalim are not called klei zchara. The Shevet Sofer would say that these kalim are called klei zchara, but most poskim assume not like that. So if they're not called Klei Zchara, then the first Jew has a chiyuv. So even if he doesn't know what the din is, but that's going to be a problem for you. You are going to be chayiv to be tovel these kalim before you use them. So that's going to be a serious issue. He really has a chiyuv tefillah on himself. But even if he's not tovel, you will not be able to use these kalim because you will be like the case of the Rashbam of someone who borrows kalim from the first Jew who acquired the kalim in such a way that he actually has a chiyuv tefillah. So what's the halacha? A person finds himself in such a circumstance. L'chatchila, a person shouldn't put himself into such a circumstance. Let's say he finds himself with the evidence in the circumstance where he's taken out to eat. He thought there was no issue, and they go to a restaurant, and it turns out there is no tefilas kalim. And what's he supposed to do now? The restaurant, he thought it would be a non-Jewish restaurant, and then baruch haba, the owner walks out. He's wearing a yarmulke, or the owner walks out and he starts to talk to him, and it turns out he's a Jew. He's a Jew, and You realize at that point if he's a non-observant Jew, he certainly was not tovel as kalim. Or you even talk to him and you say, yeah, I didn't think I dipped the kalim in the mikvah. The kid says he didn't dip the kalim in the mikvah. So what do you do at that point? Is it mutter to eat from the kalim or is it not mutter to eat from the kalim? So at first glance, if you would ask me, I'd say it's aser. How can he be mekel? We just said most poskim assume that the shevet sofer is wrong. So if this is not called klei zchara, so what's the heter? Or I'll give you a different scenario. Let's say a person is a guest by his friend's home. His friend is a non-Jew. Well, let's say his parents are not observant, and he knows that his parents are not tovel the kalim. So what's he supposed to do? What, he comes home only twice a year. He's up at yeshiva most of the time, then he comes home a couple of times a year, so he can't eat at his parents' home. He has to run and be tovel dishes every time he comes home. First of all, it's cumbersome. It's difficult. Maybe he lives in an area where it's hard for him to get a mikvah. He could get a mikvah, but it's difficult what he's going to tell his parents that he's running out with kalim. He's going to run out at 2 o'clock in the morning to go be tovel. The mikvah's probably going to be closed. What's he supposed to do? So this is part of the discussion that the Sefer Tefilas Kalim has. They're in Ha'orach of Dalet. B'dieved, a person finds himself in this kind of circumstance. So are there any kulas? So the Sefer Tefilas Kalim quotes three different kulas from the poskim. First of all, he quotes Rav Moshe is willing to be mekel. Yes, he doesn't quote the tshuva. Rav Moshe actually published the tshuva later in the Igros Moshe, Yerodei Chelek Gimel Simen Chav Beis. You want to look it up? But he just quotes Rav Moshe before the tshuva came out. Rav Moshe suggests that maybe we can distinguish between different kinds of food. maybe for food that you don't really need the kli, it's mutter to eat from the kli. Because you're not really using the kli. That's not called a shimush. It's Rav Moshe's chiddush. A kli like a plate or like a fork, you could eat with your hands. It's just that it's not etiquette. It's not derech eretz to eat that way. But you really could eat without the kli. So in that case, maybe we could be mekel that you could eat from that kli because you're not really using that kli. But a bowl, a spoon, a cup, anything that involves liquid, you can't eat with your hands. You can't eat soup with your hands. I've never tried it, but I don't think it's going to work. You can't eat soup with your hands. You can't, anything that needs a spoon or anything that needs a cup, a liquid to drink, you can't eat with your hands. So for that, Taka, you're up a creek without a paddle. Rav Moshe assumes that you'll have a big problem with any kind of liquid to eat from a kli that was not toiveled, if there really is a chi of tevila, because what's the heter? We know that there's an issa to use the kli that did not have tevila even one time. There's no freebie. We discussed at the end of one of the shiurim, there's no freebie. One-time usage is mutter. There's no such thing. Disposable kelim is a different issue. But if it's not a disposable kli, so there's no heter even for one time. So if there's no heter even for one time, so any kli that you actually have to use, if you're going to be eating liquid with it, there should be a significant problem. So this is not going to help for all circumstances. It might help for solids, but it's not going to help for liquids. So what other heterim could there be? The Tzilas Kalin quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach suggests a different heter. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, we know that there's an iser to use the kli without tevila. What kind of an iser is that? Is that an iser derais? Is that an iser derabbanan? This is a lengthy discussion in and of itself. The Tzilas Kalin quotes you all the poskim on either side. The Taka are poskim who assume it's an iser derais. Not only is there a mitzvah derais to be tovel metal dishes, but there's an iser derais to use those dishes, to use those kalim before tevila. Of course, since the mitzvah of to be tovel zruchis is only midrabbanan, so obviously the iser can only be midrabbanan. It doesn't make sense to have an iser derais on a mitzvah derabbanan. But some want to suggest that if the mitzvah is a mitzvah derais, then the iser to use the kli without tevila is an iser derais. But many poskim, in fact, we could suggest maybe even most poskim, the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha and Hilchas Shabbos, the Bir Halacha in Siman Shin Chof Gimel in Sif Yud Zayin. If you want to look it up, the Bir Halacha, as well as other Rachmanim, assume that even if the mitzvah of Tfilas Kelim is a mitzvah deraisa for Klei Matches, but the issa to use the kli without tefillah, that's an issa derabbanan. Chazal slapped on you an issa. They want you to be tovel the dish. They don't want you to use the dish before tefillah, so they slapped on you an issa to use the kli without tefillah. Zokter Shlomo Zalman, if the issa is only an issa derabbanan, so maybe, if you have no way of being tovel this kli, you have no potential, you have no option to be tovel the kli. Why not? Because the caterer is not going to allow you to take the kli. What, you're going to walk up to the caterer and say, you know, I want to eat at your establishment, but I can't because there is no tefillah kelim. So could you allow me to take out this kli? And I'm going to run over a couple of blocks. I'm going to go to the mikvah. The caterer is going to look at you like you fell from the moon. Not only that, he's not going to let you take the kelim out. Because if he lets you take it out, he'll have to let the other person take it out. He's going to say, look, you want to eat at my establishment? Fine. You don't want to eat at my establishment? Oichet, fine. He might not say it quite like that, but if you don't want to eat at the establishment, that's fine also. But you can't be tovel the kli. So Bekitzer, he's not going to let the people be tovel the kli. So Dr. Shlomo Zalman, if you have no potential to be tovel the kli, maybe we can suggest that the issa to use the kelim is only midrabanan. So Chazal never put on you this iser if there's no potential to be mekayim the mitzvah. This is similar to what Rabbi Shalta suggested when we talked about electric kelim. Rabbi Shachta said, maybe the heter, maybe the kula we can employ is that electric kalim don't require tevila because you can't be tovel them. You're going to destroy the kli. So if you're going to destroy the kli, maybe there's no chiv at all. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman wants to suggest something similar when it comes to hotels and caterers. That the hotel and the caterer is not going to allow you to be tovel the kli. So maybe where there's no mitzvah, there's no mitzvah potential, you can't be tovel these kalim. So if the mitzvah doesn't exist, so then the issur won't exist either. So maybe there won't be any problem at all to use the kelim. Of course, this is only b'di'eved. L'chatchil, if you put yourself into a situation, we're not going to be mekel for you. But if you find yourself in this situation that b'di'eved you're forced into, and you have no potential to fulfill the mitzvah tefillas kelim, so maybe the iser to use the kli without tevila will not apply. This is kula number two. Questions? I saw a hand up.
I was going to say, right, but like you already said, that you're putting yourself in that.
L'chatchila, you wouldn't be allowed to put yourself into such a situation. But again, you find yourself in this situation, it's uncomfortable, you're going to embarrass the host that brought you there. it's complicated. So if it's a difficult situation, embarrass one's parents, if the parents are not as observant as the children. So in that circumstance, perhaps we'd be willing to be mekel for these kinds of svaros. The Sefer Tevilas Kehilim has one other option, one other very interesting svar. This is in a different place. This is on page Peivav in the Sefer Tevilas Kehilim, Ha'ora Chof. He quotes from the Tshuva's Beis Avi, Rav Libis. The Tshuva's Beis Avi suggests the following idea, a very lumdish idea. We've been discussing this position of the Rashbam. Tosus quoted the Rashbam, who said that if the Jew acquires the kli from the non-Jew, it's kona kli, a kinyan gomer. The Rashbam is talking about a kinyan gomer, not this kli schora, kinyan gomer. And then the second Jew borrows the kli from the first Jew, so that he's going to be chayv in tefila. The second Jew is going to have to be tovel the kli if the first Jew was not tovel it, because kfarnas chayv biyad rishon. The first Jew really was chayv in tefila. Let's say he didn't have the time to be tovel the kelim yet, but then the second one is going to borrow from him, so the second one is chayv in tefila. The Beis Avi suggests maybe the Rashbam is only talking about a case of Shoel. Our case is not Shoel. The case of eating at the caterer, eating at the hotel, eating at the restaurant, is that a case of Shoel as a kli? You're borrowing the kli? You're not really borrowing the kli. You're a guest. Maybe Oreach should not be defined, Oreach should not be equated with a Shoel. Why? Well, we first have to understand what's the mechayv of a Shoel? Why is a Shoel chayv in Tefilas Kehilim? The first Jew is chayv in tefilas kelim. Why should I, as a shoel, be chayv in tefilas kelim? Kfar nischayv biyad rishon. So what? But I'm only shoel. The Gemara says shoel is potter. Only konakli migoy is chayv. So why should I, as a shoel, be chayv? So maybe we can suggest the following. I think I heard later the Rav had a similar idea to this Beis Avi. Maybe we could suggest the reason why the shoel is chayv is because the shoel is like a miktsas bialim. He's a part owner. The shoel is chayv ba'onsim. He has a chiyav achrayas. He has a chiyuv to pay for the damages of the kli, if it's stolen, even if an accident happened, even onsen. So the fact that he's chayev ba'onsen, that indicates he's not just a shoel, but he's like a miktsas bialim. Maybe that's the mechayev of the shoel. The reason why the shoel, according to the Rashbam, is chayev in tevila, if pranes chayev biyad rishon, is because if pranes chayev biyad rishon, and you too, you shoel, are also a miktsas bialim, so you have a chiyuv on you as well. But maybe oreach, maybe a guest, the guest is not a mixas bialim at all. The haraya, if the guest breaks the kli, no one's going to be mechayev him to pay. If you're invited to someone else's home for a Shabbos meal and you drop a dish, you drop one of the karel dishes. Karel dishes never break until they break, right? So you drop one of the dishes, they're gonna charge you for it. They're gonna put the tab in the mail. Come on. If you go to a restaurant and a kli breaks, a china dish, they're not gonna charge you for it. They're not gonna charge you for a glass that breaks. So oreach, a guest, is not a shoel, not the same as a shoel. A shoel is chayav ba'onsim, but a guest is not chayav ba'onsim. No one's going to obligate you to pay for what you damage. So if no one's going to obligate you to pay for what you damage, maybe you shouldn't be considered even a miktsas bialim. And maybe the chiyav of shoel at the Rashbam is mechadesh, maybe the chiyav doesn't exist. So maybe that's the kula that we can rely on in this context. Again, lechatchila, we don't want to rely on this kind of thing. But b'dieved, a person finds himself in such a circumstance, maybe this is the svara that we can rely on. Not that, well, we can be makel for those foods that you don't really need a kli, right? Solid foods, we can be makel that you don't really need the kli anyway for those kinds of kalim. No, that's not the kula. Is the kula what? You can't be tovel the kli, so the mitzvah doesn't exist, so therefore the issur won't exist either? No, maybe that's not the kula. Maybe the kula is much more basic than that. Maybe the kula is that in this context, there really is no chiyuv. The whole chiyuv to begin with never started. The Rashbam is the Mara, the Shmaitza, he's the point of departure, he's the beginning of this whole discussion that someone who's shoel a kli, Yisrael is shoel a kli from another Yisrael who bought the kli, and the kli was nischayev biyad Yisrael Rishon, so another shoel is chayev. Maybe that chiyuv is only because the shoel is a miktsas bialim. He's a part owner because he has a chiyuv achrayis. But maybe a guest at someone else's home, a guest at a catering establishment, is not a miktsas owner at all. He's not a miktsas bialim because no one's going to be mechayev him to pay for the broken kli. So that's the case. So maybe he has no chiyuv whatsoever. The chiyuv of shoel would not apply. The chiyuv of shoel doesn't apply. So then he doesn't have a chiyuv to be tovel at all. Again, lechatchila, we wouldn't want to put ourselves in such a situation, but b'dieved, if you find yourself in that situation, it's good to know that there are three different reasons that the post can give that maybe you should be able to be mekel. And according to the last two, one could even be mekel for the cups and for bowls and for spoons as well. Because maybe the whole chiyuv doesn't exist in this context.